top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Morning, this is the morning news for today, Wednesday, February 21st. In the headlines, former Prime Minister Edison James asked Dominicans to make a change in governance to people who are capable of objectively addressing their problems and implementing the solutions to their needs.
Q95DA.
A judge approving the July 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in Haiti has charged the late president's widow Martine Moïse along with former Prime Minister Claude Joseph, among others, for his death.
Top of the hour.
And South Africa calls on the International Court of Justice to provide a non-binding legal opinion, saying that Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory is illegal, saying this will facilitate settlement efforts. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Former Prime Minister Edison James expressed his unwavering belief in the democratic process, affirming that he would refrain from any actions or statements that could deter the United Workers' Party from adhering to it. James emphasized the pivotal role of the Dominican people in affecting governance change based on their sentiments. He underscored the necessity of individuals capable of scrutinizing, analyzing, and articulating the factual conditions of the country and apply sustainable solutions.
I believe strongly in the democratic process, and I would do nothing and say nothing to urge any deviation from us doing things based on the will of the people. Elections have consequences. It is through elections that we make a determination as to who is going to govern our affairs. So that is where it starts. How do we change that? That the people of this country have to make a change. The people of this country will make a change based on what they feel, but they will also need the help of people who are able to examine, analyze, and present the factual situations and of the state of our country. So we start with giving the people an opportunity as early as possible to decide that what we have needs to be changed, how it will be changed. The change will be directed by people. Even with the computers and all these gadgets and so on, it's people who make them, guide them, direct them. So it starts with the electoral process.
James emphasized that the tenure of the DLP administration, spanning 24 years, underscored the need for a change in the country's leadership. He noted that despite the initiation of electoral reform consultations, no concrete steps have been taken to achieve this objective.
This administration has been in office for 25 years or thereabout. One leader over the rest around 20 years now or something like that. It's time for change. We have gone through an elaborate process of consultations and discussions about electoral reform, and we have now put it on ice because our leadership has decided that we are fools and they can dangle things in front of us, glegle, and then we forget our concerns and then we go back to slumber. We, in a democratic society like ours, we are guided by our constitution, a document containing principles and positions and so on, which should guide us as to how we move forward. When we have a leadership that decides that it must take a position, that no law, no constitution will tell me what I should do and cannot do, that is dangerous. I run things, not the people. I run things. And then the people must understand that they have to make the change.
And that was the former Prime Minister Edison James. Isaac Solomon, the acting president of the Caribbean Development Bank, has issued a warning regarding the consequences of the insufficient investment in climate resilient strategies. He emphasizes that failure to allocate adequate resources to climate resilient measures could exacerbate the impacts of climate change, leading to increased cost. Solomon highlights that many of the bank's borrowing member countries are already experiencing those consequences.
As we pursue economic recovery and bolster resilience, it's crucial to highlight the pressing climate change challenge we confront. Failure to invest adequately in climate resilient pathways now could lead to escalating climate change impacts and associated costs, already evident in several of CDB's borrowing member countries. This vulnerability today jeopardizes future economic growth, development, and public sector budgets, hindering our ability to adapt to climate change impacts and achieve the SDGs. To address the lack of concessional financing, eligibility criteria, and other barriers hindering investments in climate action, mobilizing highly concessional climate finance from multilateral funds like the Green Climate Fund and Adaptation Fund, alongside blended finance approaches, remains a top priority. The bank will continue to finance programs, technical assistance, and other initiatives, and drive policy advocacy for critical sectors to build resilience in our borrowing member countries.
Solomon emphasized that the success of the bank hinges on bolstering existing partnerships and identifying new collaborators to gather resources for sustainable development.
Our success will hinge on consolidating partnerships and finding new collaborators to mobilize resources for sustainable development. A case in point is our recent designation as a grant agency of the Global Partnership for Education, the largest global fund for education in lower-income countries. The bank has already awarded $5 million in grants to support education projects in Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. In addition, we are accelerating digital transformation in the education sector by facilitating the integration of information and communication technologies in education systems and institutions throughout the region. To build environmental resilience, we will continue support for climate action by capitalizing the Climate Change Project Preparation Fund, approved by our board last year. This will assist our borrowing member countries in identifying and preparing climate change response projects, which enable our countries to access more climate financing and achieve better outcomes. In promoting energy security through our accelerated sustainable energy resilience transition framework, which we call ASSERT, we will assist countries in establishing regulatory and governance systems to attract more sustainable energy investment.
Acting President of the Caribbean Development Bank, Isaac Solomon. Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard has reiterated the ongoing effort to safeguard the nation, emphasizing the dire condition in which the country finds itself. He claimed that accountability is absent in Dominica and that the current administration behaves as if they own the country, leaving citizens unable to challenge their actions as they feel marginalized within their own country.
The power struggle continues to save our country. We can't give up now. The struggle is real, patriots. The struggle is real. Dominica Abaglo, we are in trouble. There's no accountability in the country. These guys are doing what they want, as they want, as if Dominica belonged to them. It's the private estate, what their parents left for them. So they can tell us to hell with you. Where we get our money is none of your damn business, you know? They can do as they want, and we have no say because we are second-class citizens. Now we have foreigners taking over all the jobs, foreigners. All the bills being questioned are foreigners. Even lawyers, they're employing foreigners. So we have to stamp out that nonsense in Dominica. We have to stamp out corruption in Dominica once and for all. And we're going to say so on the platform on the 25th. We're going to echo our voices. We're going to echo our sentiments. We're going to let Roosevelt's carrots and his gangsters know that we are ready for them. The time has come when we have to stand up and tell these guys to get out. It is time for them to leave office. To leave office, they are not doing the country any good. They're destroying the country.
Blanchard voiced concerns regarding the state of the economy, alleging that it is deteriorating to the extent that poverty and unemployment rates have surged tremendously. He further criticized the government's decision to implement a 0% salary increase for citizens while significantly raising the salaries of their cabinet ministers.
As a fact, the country has been destroyed, period. Not destroying. The country has been destroyed while you have poverty on the rise, unemployment on the rise, 0% salary increase for the public servants, or probably 1% at most, while you can grab a 50% and a 20% on an already high salary in a poor country that is paying $64,000 rent for you. You have the audacity, you have the guts, the gall to still increase your salary by 30%. In difficult times, man, in difficult times, where people are struggling, you have no conscience. Where have your conscience gone to? Well, we're going to stand up on the 25th. The ball will start rolling on that day. And I do hope and pray that Dominicans will stand up and we'll continue the fight from there.
And that was Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard. Political leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, addressed gun violence in Dominica following Dr. Dara's arrest and a fine for illegally importing gun accessories. Dr. Fontaine highlighted the widespread presence of unlicensed firearms, noting the unsolved case of firearm theft from the police station. He underscored that the United Workers Party's concern about the issue and called on the government to take decisive action, including enhancing penalties for firearm-related offenses.
Considering national security, the recent arrest and subsequent fine of Dr. Daru for the illegal importation of gun accessories into Dominica should remind us all of the number of unlicensed firearms in Dominica. It also draws attention to the yet unsolved theft of police firearms from St. Joseph Police Station. The United Workers Party therefore calls on the government of Dominica to do more to curb gun violence on the island, impose severe penalties on those breaking the law, and generally improve on the security and well-being of its citizens. More should also be done to curb the importation of illegal arms through the air and seaports, and generally extend greater efforts to stem the flow of these weapons into Dominica. More generally, we continue to be concerned with the tremendous burden under which our legal system operates. Cases are dragged through with endless delays. Persons are held on remand for unconscionable long periods without trial, and the courts are understaffed and under-resourced.
Dr. Fontaine voiced the United Workers Party's apprehension over ongoing political meddling in the operations of the police force and judiciary. He cited the ongoing prosecution of opposition members as a clear illustration of such interference.
Of serious concern is the continuing political interference in the work of the police and the court system. This is highlighted in the continued political prosecution of senior members of our party, to include former political leader Honorable Lennox Linton, former Prime Minister Ellison James, former MP Hector John, Dr. Sam Christian and Brian Linton. The fact that the former Prime Minister Ellison James was made to spend several minutes in a holding cell must be denounced in the strongest possible terms. My own experience at the hands of this government and our judicial system has been nothing but pure hell. Me, like the others mentioned before, have been dragged through the court system on trumped incitement charges, going back to a legal rally that we held on 7 February 2017. I was unceremoniously arrested at the airport upon arrival into the country, was forced to spend 4 days and 3 nights in a rat-infested and unhygienic jail cell. My travel documents were taken away from me, and I had to report to a police station twice a week like a common criminal. In addition, I had just been subjected to the 10th adjournment of my case, resulting in the expense of tens of thousands of dollars and a huge waste of time and effort. I, like others, have been punished, even when not found guilty, in any court of law, and for simply standing up for and on the behalf of the people of Dominica.
Dr. Thompson Fontaine, a leader of the United Workers' Party. In other news, in Haiti, a judge overseeing the investigation into the July 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse has formally charged several key figures, including his widow Martine Moïse, ex-Prime Minister Claude Joseph, and former Chief of Haiti's National Police Leon Charles, among others. The indictment issued on Monday is anticipated to excavate the instability already plaguing the Caribbean nation amidst a surge in gang violence. According to a report from the Associated Press, dozens of suspects were named in the 122-page document released by Welfare West Voltaire, the fifth judge to preside over the investigation, following previous judges stepping down due to various concerns, including fears of their safety. Leon Charles, who held the position of police chief during Moïse's assassination and currently serves as Haiti's permanent representative, the Organization of American States, faces charges including attempted murder, possession and illegal carrying of weapons, and conspiracy against the internal security of the state. Meanwhile, Joseph and Martine Moïse has been accused of complicity and criminal association. Martine Moïse, who was also injured in the attack, allegedly suggested seeking refugee under the Marshall bed during the assault. Though the judge's report cast doubt on this narrative, citing conflicting accounts from authorities at the scene. And South Africa has called upon the International Court of Justice to issue a non-binding legal opinion declaring the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories as illegal. The aim is to aid in the efforts to reach a settlement in the ongoing conflict. The representatives of South Africa began presenting their case on the second day of hearings at the ICJ, also known as the World Court in The Hague.
South Africa has urged the International Court of Justice to issue a non-binding legal opinion that the occupation of Palestinian territories is illegal. Speaking on Tuesday, the second day of the World Court hearings, South Africa's ambassador to the Netherlands, Vusimuzi Madonsela, said that would help efforts to reach a settlement.
To our core, the inhumane discriminatory policies and practices of the Israeli regime as an even more extreme form of the apartheid that was institutionalized against black people in my country.
On Monday, Palestinian representatives asked the ICJ, the UN's highest court, to declare Israel's occupation of their territory illegal. The court's advisory opinion, they said, could contribute to a two-state solution and a lasting peace. Israel is not attending the hearings. It did, however, send a written statement saying an advisory opinion would be harmful to achieving a negotiated settlement.
When will Israel's decades-long impunity for widespread and systematic human rights violations and violations of peremptory norms of international law end, if not now?
The latest surge of violence in Gaza, prompted by the October 7th attacks in Israel by Hamas, has complicated already deeply rooted grievances in the Middle East and damaged efforts towards finding a path to peace.
Occupied territory in good faith.
This hearing follows a request by the UN General Assembly in 2022 for an advisory or non-binding opinion on the occupation.
From Mauritius in 1960.
More than 50 states will present arguments until February 26th. The ICJ is expected to take roughly 6 months to issue an opinion. The hearings are separate from the genocide case brought by South Africa against Israel at the same court. In that case, in late January, the ICJ ordered Israel to do everything in its power to prevent acts of genocide in Gaza. Israel has denied all allegations of genocide and has asked the court to reject the case outright, saying it was baseless.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. former Prime Minister Edison James asked Dominicans to make a change in governance to people who are capable of objectively assessing their problems and implementing the solutions to their needs.
On Q95.
A judge probing the July 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in Haiti has charged the late president's widow Martine Moïse, along with former Prime Minister Claude Joseph, among others, for his death. And South Africa calls on the International Court of Justice to provide a non-binding legal opinion, saying that Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory is illegal, saying this will facilitate settlement efforts.
Right on.
The news was brought to you. Compliments, Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I am Felicin Valmond.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95.